Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Uncensored Podcast. And today I'm here with...
Elle Gunderson.
And so if you all don't know, Elle actually published a book called Shine Like Otto, which, if I'm not mistaken, it's in the version of someone who is having anxiety and trying to get through anxiety.
Yes, it represents a child having anxiety attacks and whatnot and how to deal with that.
All right. So what made you want to start writing this book? Because obviously, you know, books of like, I feel like their popularity has gotten less and less as we've gone on. Obviously, a lot of people still read books.
Yeah.
So what really went into you wanting to publish your own book?
Well, okay, it started sophomore year. We all had this thing at my school, and it was called a personal project. And basically what that was we had to do a project that represented something about ourselves. Then it was sent off to a program to get graded and whatnot. And so I decided, instead of learning how to cook or learning how to make something like most people did, I wanted to do something that could make a change, maybe look on a resume or do something that was personal to me. And during that time, my brother, actually, he was in seventh grade, he was undiagnosed anxiety, and he was having a really hard time in school, focusing and just, you know, getting along with his peers, with his teachers. He was out of school a lot, and it was a really hard time for everyone in my family. I also had undiagnosed anxiety at the time, so I was kind of cannonballing off of my brother. But I decided to research by talking to doctors and going online about how to handle anxiety from an unmedicated standpoint. And I did a research project on that. And then I turned it into a book that was actually completely different. It was called Worried Winston. It was about a mole rat that had anxiety. So that was my personal project sophomore year. Then junior year, my aunt actually published a book. She's an artist. And I was like, oh, maybe I should consider publishing it. So I ended up changing the whole story. I made it kind of like a poem structure, and I had her do the illustrations and as like an alien. And then I published it my senior year, I guess it was March, on Amazon. Yeah, that's the story behind that.
Yeah, that's really cool. So how did the publishing and behind the scenes work? Because, like, you know, writing the book's one thing, but then getting a publisher and then getting it like printed, how did that all work?
Okay, so shout out Hill Harcourt, if you're listening to this, I'll probably make him listen to it. But he actually is a publisher, and he helped me kind of make the formatting for the book. So I had the images and I had the words I wanted to use on Google Docs and Word and whatnot, but he really helped me do it online. I structured it, and then the publishing process was so hard. Oh my goodness. It took like 5 months. It was all on Amazon. And the thing about Amazon is there's really specific sizing for everything. And like watermarks and everything. So I had to submit the book, I think it was like 13 different times. And I know. And in between every single time, it took like 2 weeks to be registered and everything. So finally, on like that 13th time, it got approved and published. So it probably took like 4 months or something. I don't know. I started at junior of summer year. I published in March. So it was a really long time.
Yeah. And then, so this is more of a financial question, but so you sell the books, $15 a piece on Amazon.
Yes.
How much did it cost to make the book just from scratch?
From scratch, I paid Hill to help me out with that. I don't know how much that was, but it was a significant amount. luckily Amazon does all the processing and everything like that. The only thing that does suck about that is for every one book that's $15 sold, I only get around $7 for that, because they always like to pay for the materials and everything like that. But as a writer, I do get a discounted version.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants a copy, talk to me. Don't buy it off Amazon, because I'll get it for cheaper.
Yeah. Because I've been watching Shark Tank, and then, like,
oh my gosh, my dream is to be on Shark Tank. Like,
because, like, as they always say, like, it's cheaper, like, to build the product, but then they'll sell it for, like, a lot more. So I was just wondering, like, how much it costed you to, like, to make the book first, like, price you're selling.
No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Luckily, the product is not made at a facility near me. So I have Amazon doing everything for me. Unfortunately, they do take a portion of that. That's just how it works. But if I were to publish it through a different company, it would definitely be different price-wise.
So... numbers wise, do you know how many copies that you've sold? Does Amazon give you those numbers back, or like how do you know the analytics of how it's doing?
So I get a monthly kind of summary of everything. When I first published it, obviously my family, they just got it, so that was probably like what, 20 copies sold. It shows you a couple weeks after. I haven't seen my May stats yet. I'm gonna hope that it's around $500 so I can send it to the Pete Foundation. I'm gonna assume it was like over 100 copies. I will get those results in like a week or so, so maybe I'll share them, but hopefully it's around that amount. I would hope people want to read it.
So let's get, so the book obviously about anxiety, so did you write it, you just talked about your brother, did he help you like write it from like his perspective, or is this written from like your perspective but it's being told through Otto?
It's kind of a combination of both. I think the mental side of the book and like the feelings, there's a page that talks about, you know, your heart beating fast, everything feels hot, things like that. That's from a personal perspective. The setting, however, is based off my brother. It's in a school setting. The alien Otto was stressed for his first day of school. So that was definitely based off my brother, for sure, because he would be really anxious to go to school. Yeah, so he gave me kind of his feelings on that, and I put a little personal touch on it.
Yeah. So, like, obviously this is a school project, but is this something you might want to do in the future, like release other books, or is this kind of a one-and-done thing that was just, like, a school thing, and now you're satisfied with it?
I don't know. I've been told by a couple of people to consider writing more books. I think that would be really cool in college. I don't know what it would be about. I was thinking about making it kind of like a series with other, you know, mental disorders, but we'll see. I would need a personal touch on it, so I'd have to meet with someone who has the disorder. I don't want to speak for someone else, but definitely if someone comes up to me and they want, you know, their personal experiences aired out for awareness, I would 100% consider writing another book. Yes.
So this wasn't, it was illustrated by Peyton Turner.
Yes.
So what really made you think that she would be the best overall illustrator for it? Because obviously, you know, you can do a lot of things with AI now or just whatever. What made you pick her to be the one to help you illustrate this?
Well, actually, when I first wrote the first copy, Worried Winston, shout out the sophomore year, I did all the illustrations, and I wouldn't say they were bad, but they weren't, like, very good. And I think it was just perfect timing where I chose to have my aunt do it, because, first of all, with her, it wasn't, like, a deadline, and I didn't have to, like, worry about, like, payment or anything like that. She had just written a book that was really similar. It was called, like, Find Your Shine. And so that's why I put, you know, shine, like, Otto in the, in the title. And I really liked the illustrations for that because she's actually an artist. And she has a whole line of, like, baby room things. And it's aliens. And I was like, oh, that's really cute. So she gave me one of her characters from her baby room line. And we named him Otto. And that's how it began, kind of. I mean, I just really wanted someone that I knew personally doing the images just so I can be, like, really realistic on what I wanted to, like, see. Because I would give her, I would say, hey, I want an image of Otto in a school. He looks worried. there's like bubbles all over his head, and she would like immediately understand it instead of like someone I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Like it'd be hard to explain. Yeah. So I like that. That was good.
Yeah, I feel like it's, and then just from my perspective, it's like, I think it's really cool that this is out of you and your brother's perspectives.
Yes.
Because it's stuff you've been through and it's stuff that you're still currently going through.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just like you sat down and just started writing because you had a friend that had this and just started writing. Because I think what makes a lot of things, because you can't really trust what's real a lot of the time nowadays.
100%.
And so like this is like a first-hand, first-person through Otto, which is like the third person, like Otto's telling the story, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, of course. I definitely think that I needed to add in, you know, symptoms of anxiety just to make it more relatable. And when I was researching it sophomore year, I found that surprisingly, my symptoms were very common. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I'm not the only person that feels this way, which is the goal, because I don't want little kids thinking that they're different because they have, they're a little anxious, you know, like it's completely normal. And you want to get rid of the stigma behind that.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say was the hardest part of all this from the start to the very end when you finally got it all out?
I think the hardest part was honestly starting it from like a business perspective. I think making the book by myself, you know, sophomore year was relatively easy.
That's the fun part.
Yeah,
just
it was
making
so
the
fun.
Making the book and writing it, that's all the fun part.
Like coloring, like that was so fun. But then when I decided that I wanted to publish it, like finding a publisher, getting illustrations, it was just hard because it took so long. And I'm a really like tactical person. Like I like getting everything done super fast, and like having to wait on things was so stressful to me. But I got done, thank goodness. But I think like the waiting was just the hardest part.
I think that's kind of like what happens with a lot of things. It's like someone wants to do something. They'll start, then they realize, oh shit, there's a lot more different, like, it's like the iceberg thing. Like, there's the tip of the iceberg, it's out of the water, but then it's like all those other things below the iceberg where it's like, if you wanted to start videoing something, it's like, okay, I shot the video. Well, now you gotta edit it, you gotta do all this different stuff to where it's like, this is a lot harder than I thought. So, like, was there ever a point where you were like, maybe this isn't for me, maybe I'd do this for school, but then just cut it? Mm-hmm. Or, like, was it always just full train ahead?
I think the most stressful part, actually, I was considering that just because the first time I submitted to Amazon and they reviewed it and everything, they gave me all the things that I didn't have. Mm. And, oh my gosh, this list was so long. It was, like, 2 pages. And I was like, oh my God, like, I'm never going to be able to do this, even with the help of a publisher. Like, even the QR code on the back took, what, like, 10 tries? Like, it is ridiculously hard. And getting the spacing right, the sizing of the pages, that was just multiple attempts. And it gets to a point where it's just so monotonous, and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. So I was definitely reconsidering the first maybe 3 times I submitted to Amazon. But, you know, when you submit it 3 times, that's enough. So, I mean, I just had to keep going.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, 'cause when I started, like, doing broadcast journalism at Trinity, it's like my first video I did, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I thought I did great. Well, then it's like the teacher gets it, and then he critiques the hell out of it.
Yes,
just all these different critiques, and then it's like, it kind of brings you, but that's the point where it's like, okay, there's 2 directions.
Mm-hmm.
You can either keep going, or you can give up. And it's like, as you keep doing it and doing it, because did the list of things get shorter as you continue?
Yeah, I learned so much. I even had my grandma, like, look at it. She used to be an English teacher. She looked at it and did, like, corrections. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm an idiot. Like, I don't know anything about English. But I learned so much. Like, the process helped me. It's definitely, if I do consider doing another book, it'll be 10 times faster this time. Yeah.
I feel like that the first time was just, like, it's not just
a wake-up call.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the first time that, like, you're going through this whole process where it's, like, I know what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, once I knew what my teacher, like, his preferences were in videos, like, what he liked, it became so much easier because it's like, okay, now I have, like, the step-by-step guide of everything I have to do.
Yeah.
And it's not like I have to send it in and I'm expecting another 2 pages back of errors or, like, corrections I have to make.
Yes, it's good to have a good base that is guidelines-wise, correct, and then I can just add my own touches to it. So that's definitely, it'll be a lot quicker if I consider doing it again. Mm-hmm. It'll be a lot more creative because I know the guidelines now. I know what's allowed.
Yeah.
And I can add my own touch to it.
Yeah, I feel like the thing with like children's books specifically is like, even if they can't read the book, it's like they see colorful pictures, they see colorful fonts. It's like, well, I remember when I was a kid, I was learning to read. I could, most of the time, it's just flipping through pictures and stuff.
Pictures
it's like, it was like, you really hit the nail on the head because it's like,
very colorful.
Beautiful colors. Yes. It's like, it pops to you.
Yes.
It's like, if you just made the book like gray, dark colors, like, the kids aren't going to be like, I want that book. It's like, because that's what really pops to kids is those vibrant colors.
Yeah, I nanny a lot, so I definitely read my fair share of children's books. Two kids. I actually read this book to a kid lately, and they really liked pictures, so that was a good compliment to have. But I did really want it to be welcoming to children because I completely...
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Book.
Oh yeah,
because it is about a pretty grim subject.
Like, yeah,
you may as well add some positivity to it through colors and photos.
Yeah,
that's why I wanted it to be a children's.
That's why I like it, because it's like, on one end it's a children's book, but on the other end it's something that people that are full time jobs, CEOs are dealing with this.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's a really good just combination of like, from a business perspective, of audiences that you're gonna bring in and gather, because it affects a whole wide range variety of people. You're not like, you didn't just like target one audience, you targeted a vaster range of people.
Yeah, I wanted it to be relatable but fun. I wanted it to be, you know, I wanted it to rhyme but also get a message across.
Yeah.
And I think, I hope I successfully did that. Mm-hmm. We'll see what everyone thinks. I'll have to look at the Amazon reviews, but I hope that was successful from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, when you finished the book, or like when you got that first review back, what were your initial like reaction of like how it did, and like, were you happy with it, or were you like, okay, how do we make this better?
So actually, when I first published it, there were typos, and I was like, oh no, it was so bad. Ugh. And it was only like, what, 3 pages, and it wasn't grammatical errors, it was just like spelling of names or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, like this is the end of the world, but it was fixed in like 2 weeks. When I first got, you know, reviews from non-family members, like, you know, the kids I nannies, parents, it just like made me feel really good. It made me feel like helpful, you know? Like, I was very glad to get a message across. One of my old babysitters was she was my nanny, but she is a teacher at St. Margaret Mary, and she brought a few copies to the St. Margaret Mary, their like therapy wing, for the kids, and they all liked it, which made me feel so happy.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make other people feel happy. I'm just glad that kids can relate and enjoy it.
Yeah, that's the good thing I feel like about this book, is that it's like, there's so many people that can relate to this. And just, I feel like one of the best things is when people that like are your friends, but will also be honest with you.
Yes.
Because if I just said, hey, oh, I think the book's good. Mm-hmm. What's that gonna do for you?
Nothing. It's like, specific.
You wouldn't have your friend come in and be like, okay, I think it's good, but I think you need to fix these things. Because if everyone just tells you that something's good, there's no room for improvement.
Exactly.
Because obviously, nothing's going to be perfect in anything. So, like, if you're sugar-coated, then you're not going to know, like, where you can build upon.
Mm-hmm. My aunt was very blunt with me while creating the book, which was extremely helpful. I think she helped me with some of the rhymes and the poems, getting the points across. She was very blunt. She was very honest.
Yeah.
And as much as that was annoying sometimes, oh, yeah, I don't think that the book would have ended the way I would have liked if she wasn't critiquing me constantly.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the thing about today. It's like a lot of people, like, they don't want to hear the critiques. They don't want to hear what they have to get better at. They just want to hear, oh, good job, good job. But it's like, in life, if you're not critiqued, mm-hmm, you're not going to grow.
Yeah.
If you're constantly just saying, good job, you're going to stay at that level. Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to get better, you're going to have to be critiqued and be able to be coachable on us. Because, like, it would have been really easy for you to say, okay, my Aunt Elma said this.
Yeah.
I'm done. Yeah. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done with the book. And, like, but you listened to her and you just kept going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was very helpful getting critiques, especially for my parents. Ugh, they are the queens and kings of critiquing me on everything, but it's helpful, I guess. I haven't had any complaints yet, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. Definitely very helpful. I mean, both of my grandmas were English teachers, so them reading a book was like, I was sweating while they were reading it. I was like, oh,
like,
my goodness.
Comma there.
Oh, this is misspelled, spacing.
Apostrophe.
I was like, oh my gosh. But it was helpful in the end. Hopefully no more English teachers read it, just in case they miss something. I hope not, but we'll see.
So, obviously you said you wanted to make this a series. Would it continue with Otto, or would you relate to, like, a... Because obviously, you know, a big thing now is, like, spinoffs, where it's, mm-hmm, like, it's the same content of the show, but it's, like, something different. It's, yes, like, you have Breaking Bad, and you have Better Call Saul. Mm-hmm. Is Otto something you want to continue, or would you rather go from a different character and use that and maybe create, like, a universe of characters, but, like, keep that same message?
You hit the nail on the head there. That's exactly what I would do. I think, so in the series my aunt painted, there's what, like 13 characters? Mm-hmm. I think if I were to write another book, it would be focusing on another character. There's actually a page in Shine Like Otto with, I think, like 5 characters in it. I think I would pick one of them. They all have names already. Yes, exactly that one. I'd probably pick one of them and do a different, you know, struggle. I don't know how to, like, word it, but something like that. I mean, I do babysit a lot of kids, and they do represent a lot of different, you know, abilities, disabilities, whatever. I would definitely need to talk to, you know, someone with a personal experience. Mm. But I think I would do something about, I don't know, maybe like autism, maybe something about depression. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of heavy topics for kids.
Oh, yeah.
But I would definitely need to do an interview with someone or talk to them on a more personal level if I were to do another book.
Well, you've seen the movie Inside Out, right?
Yes.
You could kind of do it where it's like, instead of like emotions, you could kind of do it where it's like different like disorders or like mental things, where it's like each character represents something.
Yeah.
To where it's like you kind of have like the group right there.
Yeah, my whole goal wasn't, you know, to make money to get publicity, college stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I did this all this after I got into college, but I just wanted to, like, get rid of a stigma around mental health.
Yeah.
Because I definitely, with kids, you know, when my brother was diagnosed, he had already gone through, what, 3 years of thinking he was different, of, like, not, you know, having access to medication because he couldn't figure out what was going on. And it definitely is very isolating. I just want to remove that and get it out there that it's completely normal to feel this way. And, you know, seeing a doctor, just like in the book, a doctor's link is never looked down upon, and it can help you quite a lot, which I think is a great message for the kids. I really just want to emphasize, stop the stigma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a really good... My only thing would be at the start, I would like color.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like the star is what, like, you know, when you're, you know this, when you're writing something, the hook, the teacher's always, like, they want the hook.
Yes.
I feel like if you put, like, something here or, like, something within these first couple lines, kids will be all over.
Well, fun fact about that, actually, for Amazon, you need a certain number of book or pages, and you need an even number. So it would have said any color, but I had to add like 2 extra pages, so that is why it's blue instead of colorful. I would definitely look into that and see if that is possible. It would take me like 2 seconds, but we'll see. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe in the next book, it'll be like a rainbow, an explosion of colors.
Well, I mean, you're going to the biggest school in Texas. I bet you could find someone that could probably help you. Or like, I bet you can meet some people that are going through. Because obviously, you know, a lot of people are nervous for college.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're going into a group with like however many people are in your class that are going to be going through some stuff or might have some stuff. And who knows, maybe that might be the inspiration for the next person or the next character in the book.
For sure. I mean, for those of you that don't know, I'm going to the University of Texas in Austin. I know, Hook 'em Horns. Austin's a great city. I think definitely I can find so many people that can help me with this. I think maybe after my freshman year, I'll have to reassess.
Yeah.
Maybe live there over the summer and get this done. But, I mean, Austin's really creative.
Yeah.
Very, very, you know, mental health based. I think they really emphasize that there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll find a good home there, and I think it would really help me maybe become more of a published author, maybe a series author.
Yeah, who knows? Because, like, you know, it's not like a, obviously you have the message, but like, it's not like a dark book where it's like, this is really dark and deep. It's like, no, it's like telling it from a colorful perspective.
Yeah.
Which is like, I feel like in Texas, it's like very popular place, very popping. It's like, I bet you could find people within like the cracks that are like, maybe not like at the surface and maybe lower on that iceberg that I said earlier, where it's like they're struggling with some of these different things.
For sure. I think, well, I actually met with one of the women that are in charge of the Pete Foundation, which is where I'm donating proceeds of the book to. And they do this thing every year called, like, the Stomp Festival, which is basically, it just raises money for mental health because Pete, who is, you know, the starter of this foundation, unfortunately passed away due to mental health issues. Mm. But I think, you know, having a fun little touch, having, like, a festival that can be fun and have artists to raise money for a cause that is so dark is very helpful. I think that is something that definitely can be brought to Austin, so maybe I'll start that. But yeah, the Stomp Festival will be really fun. I'll probably be there with my book, so we'll see about that.
So you just talked, what made you pick that specific foundation that was what you're going to give your money to? Because obviously there's probably a boatload of foundations like that. What stood out about them that you said, okay, that's the one I want to give the proceeds to?
Kind of like I said earlier, like, I liked that they have, it's less of an emphasis on donate, donate, donate. It's more of awareness.
Yeah.
And that it's called the Stomp Festival because they want to stomp the stigma around mental health, which I think is a great message. Also, they really do emphasize children and finding medication. And they really emphasize how it is a brain disorder and it is having to do with chemicals. It's not an emotional or a personal disorder, which I really like. I really enjoy that. Because as much as it is an emotional process, definitely we need to have more sympathy towards it is a chemical disorder, just like having a broken arm or, you know, needing Advil. Like, it's the same thing. It's not, you can't just fix it.
Yeah.
You know, you need to go see help. Maybe go to a therapist, maybe go on medication. Like, as long as we get that message out from a young age that you're not different, it's not an isolating inconvenience, just reaching out to people is the best help.
Yeah.
Being alone is never, never helpful.
Yeah.
Always look for help. That's what I just wanted to emphasize. And Stomp in the Pete Foundation, do, like, say that perfectly, which I really enjoy.
So, is it, you donate 100% of all proceeds go?
Yes.
Okay.
That's 100% of all the proceeds go to the Stomp Foundation. I haven't seen the full number yet. I hope that it's helpful. I'm hoping that it'll go towards the Stomp Festival, so it'll be super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Super yeah, it's just really colorful, yeah. Amazing. But again, they said it's not really about the money, it's just about the message, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, that's good. There's a lot of things, like a lot of these foundations or charities now is just give money, and then like they don't really do anything with it. They kind of just promote.
Yeah.
It seems like this foundation, like they actually like get out and they're active. They actually do things.
Yes. They actually go to a bookstore. Like the other week they went to a Nook in Nowhere. They go to bookstores, they find books like this, and they promote them by using like QR codes. They actually partnered with Tiny Brothers. So if you go to Tiny Brothers, you can get a QR code that links to the Stomp Festival, where you can either donate or sign up to go,
mm-hmm.
which I think is awesome. I just really like that they're all around Louisville instead of just like one foundation that doesn't really do anything.
Yeah.
Like they're partnering with big companies and really promoting mental health through like day-to-day conveniences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
So is this a Louisville-based organization or are they based somewhere else?
It's Louisville-based. Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff goes down in Louisville. They actually partnered with some marketing firms in Louisville, so hopefully their message will get out a little more. It'll be a little less, you know, foreign. Because to be honest, I had no idea what the Pete Foundation was until I wrote this book. So I just hope more people understand what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, just as the foundation, like, it continues to grow. Hopefully your book also continues to grow.
Sure.
Did they do any like promotion for your, like not like promotion, but did they like showcase your book or anything?
So they reposted it on Instagram and I'm going to send them a couple authored copies. And then when they do these book pop-ups, they're going to showcase it. I think I'll show up to a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I got asked to do a news interview for this, so hopefully that doesn't fall through. Hopefully that happens. That'd be really awesome, I think. But they're also doing, you know, the Stomp Festival. I'll probably be there with a little booth or something like that,
mm-hmm.
just with a QR code. Hopefully that works out. I mean, there's only so much you can do, but they've really set me up with a good system to get my message out there.
So, did you ever think about doing hardback, or was paperback just more suitable for you?
You can technically order hardback if you really want to on Amazon. I just think it was more convenient for the, you know, like time-wise.
Oh, yeah.
To do a paperback, I think it's just a lot faster production. Mm-hmm. Technically, you can order it hardback. I wouldn't recommend. It makes it like $10 more.
Yeah.
I know. It's like insane. But yeah, production just takes like 10 times longer for hardback, especially with Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Again, if I did it again, don't know if I'd use Amazon. Maybe that would be a little cheaper and a little faster if I didn't.
Yeah. But then again, Amazon is very accessible. Everyone has Amazon. It's like very easy just to get it out there.
I know. And if I did it through another company, it would be hard to get it on Amazon, which is just so tough. Like, personally, if someone else wrote a book and it was on, like, a separate website, I'd be a little more hesitant than Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's just more, like, familiar to me.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. But, you know, working with big corporations is, I guess I would call myself a small business owner. I don't know. Small book owner.
Yeah.
It was a little tough, especially money-wise. But luckily, I'm not fully banking on this book. For financial reasons. So I don't have to worry about that right now.
So, speaking of finance, you brought up Shark Tank earlier.
Oh my gosh, yes.
What's your favorite Shark Tank product that you've like ever seen that you're like, that's actually a really cool idea?
This is my favorite just because when I saw it on Shark Tank, I was mad at myself for not thinking about it sooner.
I feel like that's a thing like all the time people think about is like, that's such like a...
It's stupid.
It's not like a crazy, like it's not like some crazy idea that's like so far-fetched and blown out of proportion. It's like, it's simple things that people are making that it's like, how did I not come up with that?
I should have done that. It's the ankle weights, which fun fact, actually on Shark Tank, they go on your wrists and your ankles. When I saw that, I was fuming. I was like, this is genius. And now they're in Target, and now they're in Kroger, and you can get them on Amazon. And what are they, like $15?
Probably.
And it's a multi-million dollar company now for ankle weights. Like, I should have thought of that. And even when I was in like preschool, it was like, what is one of your dreams? And I was like, be on Shark Tank.
I mean,
should have thought of Anchorage.
This thing right here, it's called the drop stop. It's literally just a seat filler for your car. You what? Put it over your seatbelt.
See,
it's like, it's a 5-star, it's a bestseller on Amazon. It's like, it's simple things like that. It's probably just a piece of plastic that someone said, okay, we're going to make an insert here for your seatbelt. You put it on your seatbelt thing, because how many times you drop your keys or you drop your phone or in the cracks, and you're just trying to reach down and drive because your directions are messed up. It's like...
It's so good, and it's so dumb that it makes me mad that I didn't think about it. It's pure jealousy. Sometimes I gotta turn off the TV because I'm like, holy moly, like I could be a millionaire by now.
It's like one of the ones that always like just it kind of like it irks is the scrub daddy.
Yes.
It's like who thinks to take a sponge
with two sides
and just make a smile with it?
I don't. It's so like silly. Or the Ring camera. Actually, that got rejected from Shark Tank.
I bet looking back now that all of them are like, well, that's one thing about Shark Tank. It's like sometimes they miss. Yeah. Sometimes they take like, I think I saw on TikTok one time, like they took, it was a thing on your phone where you can check your BAC, mm-hmm. your blood alcohol content through your phone. They all invested like a crap ton of money into mm-hmm. it. That was like one of the only times where like all of the sharks were fully in on it.
Yeah.
Well, then basically this guy basically took all the money that the sharks had donated. And we're just out, like, vacationing on all these islands and stuff. And this guy, he basically just scammed them.
Yeah, I mean, and you it's can't like, really tell that through your phone.
Exactly. It's like, it sounds like such a great idea. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you have to trust the people who are making the product. Which is like, because they can't hit every time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, looking back on it, you know that they definitely would have wanted to have Ring cameras over the thing that failed.
I wish that I had, you know, really got on the Shark Tank sooner. Maybe as a 12-year-old I could have been on the show, which is super impressive. Whenever I see those kids on Shark Tank, I am just so jealous of them. So I wish I wasn't 18 right now. I guess I have a few more years to be really impressed to be on Shark Tank, but the window is closing.
Oh, yeah.
So I need to hurry up on my journey.
Or like, just
seriously.
The comfy. Like,
yes.
Who, like someone just made a sweat of, like... They basically took the material from a blanket and put it in a sweatshirt.
It's genius.
It's like...
It's so smart.
Like, these aren't things that are, like, otherworldly ideas that are taking, like... You're sitting in your basement and just, like, scientifically think, okay, how do I put this part together? No.
It's not like a new car.
Exactly.
It's literally, like, the stupidest little things. I just want to interview people on the street and ask them, what are minor inconveniences today? And then you think of a solution, like, multi-million dollars.
Literally, like... You think of something where, like, I do it all the time. It's like, I'm in my room, I'm like, this is so annoying.
What's bothering me today?
It's like, what's bothering me? And it's like,
fix it.
But it's like, that's the thing. It's like, it's the people that, like, they already have, like, a job.
Mm-hmm.
So then they can just devote everything to that.
Yeah.
It's like, I can think of one right now. It's like, something that can just keep your cords from getting all tangled.
Yes. Wait, I'm going to think about that.
It's like... I bet there's something you could make where it's like the people that could like have the time. I think time is the biggest thing, honestly.
Yes, and trusting yourself.
Yeah.
Believing in yourself. Because I am a very timid person. I don't think I could put all my funding into a tiny product with the possibility of it failing.
It's kind of like
it's too stressful.
So like I do sports, but it's like imagine just taking all your money. And just throwing it on a sports team to win the game.
No.
That's basically what you're doing with
the
product.
That's
it's like
perfect analogy.
You're dropping everything and you're saying, hey, this is the winning product.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting all my money, all my time into this product. That it's going to be a boom and then it's not going to lose.
My fear of failure is too great to do that. And it's unfortunate. But some people just are built different. Some people can, you know, some people have that pillow, they have that cushion to fall back on.
Yeah.
I'd be too scared.
I mean, like, just...
I could never.
Like, that was on Shark Tank.
Oh, my
like,
God.
It's... So, though, you can't see it, but it's a hug sleep pod. It's, like, just a thing you go into, and it...
It's like a blanket that...
You sleep
It's like
in.
A Ziploc bag, kind of. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it
what?
It's a tight blanket that just closes around like, your neck. A squatty pie! That's a great example. Squatty Potty's genius. And it's like scientific too.
Yeah.
Also like the first few energy drinks to be on Shark Tank. Genius as well.
Oh yeah.
I mean, now there's way too many, but like
energy drinks?
Yeah. I know. You're like, dude. Yeah.
What's your favorite?
What should we get to? Celsius.
What's your favorite flavor?
I like the non-carbonated ones. Mm-hmm. I like the peach ones. I think the carbonated ones make me too like jittery.
My favorite's the cherry cola one.
Oh, that one?
That's one of my favorites.
It's pretty good.
I'm a big cherry coke guy. So like when they first released it, I got it, and I was like, oh, okay, this is like really good.
I've never had that one.
It's pretty damn. If you like cherry coke, it's like,
I do,
because like there's no sugar in it,
yeah,
and it's just like an energy drink, but like it doesn't taste like anything bad. Like,
yeah. See, I like Alani's, but it tastes like when you have an ice cone, like, you know, like a slushy.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
The syrup melts to the bottom. That's what the Alani's taste like to me, just like syrup.
Yeah, like Alani's tastes like so much like a high fructose corn syrup.
Yes,
like it's like, yes, like the cherry slushy one in particular. It's like, I love a cherry slushy, and it's like I'll get it occasionally, but it's like, one that like I do like. I don't really like a lot of these, but the sugar free Red Bulls are, they're pretty solid.
I feel like if I had Red Bull, I'd have a heart attack.
Well, like it's the sugar free ones aren't bad. A couple ones, I hate Monster. Monster's,
I've never had that.
Monster's
either.
Disgusting. I hate Monster.
I know my limits. I shake at a Celsius, let alone a Red Bull.
Yeah.
I think I would actually be on the floor. Or I couldn't sleep for a week. I don't know. One of the two. It would be bad.
One that I never got behind was the Focus one.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, what's the one in the gray can? What was the one that, was that the?
Jack Harlow.
Was that Focus in the gray can?
The silver one?
Yeah.
That was Jack Harlow collab.
It was all right.
It's because it's Louisville-based.
Yeah.
I feel like most of the hype around it was with Louisville people. It just didn't really get out there fast enough.
Yeah.
Which was, like, the main issue. I also don't think it tastes very good.
Yeah. I will say, though, Louisville is a great place if you want to start up something, because UPS is, like, right down the street.
You're
so it's,
right.
Like, if you really did want to, like, start something up and then, like, get it shipped... this would be a good place to start doing that, which is why I think you see, like, some of those companies, like, just focus there, just try to get out there, because you have the worldwide UPS hub in your backyard.
I've actually never thought about that before.
Yeah.
So, keeping that in my back pocket for the next products that I
make. The next book you need, just...
the next energy drink I make. Just kidding, I would never do that. Never.
Yeah.
The next Squatty Potty I make. There we go.
Yeah, I mean... some of these things are just ridiculous, but it's like, you totally
now I'm gonna get myself ankle weights.
Like, that's something that you would definitely think of, where it's like, that's not a bad idea, but it's like, why didn't I think of that?
Exactly.
Because like, you think about it all the time, but you never put pen to paper.
You're right. It's so annoying.
All right. Well, this has been a very fun episode.
Yes.
Getting to learn about Shine Like Auto.
Guys, get it on Amazon.
If you want to get the book, I'll put a link on my story and in our bio at Untentured Podcast on Instagram. It'll be there. Elle, thank you for coming on.
Of course.
This has been another episode of the Untentured Podcast. Thank you for watching.